this on. Let me bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. I think about a voice. But it's just good to get together. Hope when you came in, hope you received the bulletin or the outline for the lesson this morning. As Rick said when he read the text, the lesson comes from the text that was read to us. I just want you to look and you can see there are six warnings that Jeremiah gives that are listed in this text. You just kind of go through them. I put the verse, not the entire verse, but the warning that Jeremiah gives. Number one, he said, "Behold, the words of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it." As Rick said in his introduction too, these are lessons for us today because we have a generation of people that are saying the same thing as Jeremiah's audience did. We have people today that say, concerning the Word of God, they say, "I don't have any delight in that. Don't want to hear it." Second one, Jeremiah says, "Everyone is given to covetousness. Everyone deals falsely," or they gain prosperity through not legitimate ways. Then number three in verse 14, you have the people saying peace, peace, when there isn't any peace. We have a generation of people that do that too. They think everything's all right. It's not all right. Number four, were they ashamed? He asked a question. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No. Uh-oh. They were not ashamed. Then an interesting phrase. He said they didn't know how to blush. Wow. Then number five in verse 16. The Lord says, "Stand in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you'll find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." Verse 17, Jeremiah says, "I've set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we'll not listen." Well, how would you like to preach to a congregation of people that won't listen? Sometimes preachers say, I know a congregation like that. They won't listen. You know, it's an Old Testament lesson, but in the New Testament it says we need to heed the warnings of the Old Testament. Paul said in Romans 15, verse 4, those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So Jeremiah is really not out of date. There's something that we need to learn from that Old Testament message. Paul said it again in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. These things happened to them by way of example. They were written for our admonition. Meaning we need to learn from our history or from Israel's history. Meaning we see their mistakes and we don't want to make the same mistakes that they did. Amen. You know, I like to receive warnings in life. They keep me out of trouble. If I listen to them. But I have to listen to the warnings. You know, you approach a train or a trolley track and you see the light. As you're approaching, you see the lights flashing. You see the bells ringing. The arm comes down. And it's warning me that I need to stop because there's a train or a trolley that's going to cross my path. You approach an intersection and the light that was green now turns yellow and it's warning you to speed up before it turns red. No, it means get ready to stop. You know, when backing up some commercial vehicles, you'll have a warning bell. You'll let you know I'm backing up. You know, that ding, ding, ding. I saw on our mattress at Box Springs, it has a warning penalty for removing this tag. Really? I'm wonder, I always wonder what the penalty is. But in this lesson and in our text, Jeremiah is sent by God to warn his people what would happen if they continued in the direction that they were going. You understand that? If you continue in the direction you're going, this is what's going to happen. And in the earlier message, Jeremiah begins in chapter 2, verse 1. Says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, so it's God's word, it's a heavenly message. It says, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem and say, thus says the Lord, I will bring charges against you, says the Lord. In verse 32, Jeremiah begins with a message. My people have forgotten me days without number. Uh-oh. Forget God? In chapter 5, verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule by their own power. In other words, they haven't submitted to God. And these are the priests. These were the religious leaders of the day. These were the ones that leading God's people in supposedly in ways of righteousness, and they weren't even following it themselves. And then Jeremiah says, and my people love to have it so. Oh my. In our text, in Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah warns the people of six actions on their part that will separate them from God. You understand that? These are warnings. You continue in this direction, you will be separated from God. Here, as Rick said in his reading, Jeremiah could be speaking to our people today. The conditions that were prevalent then are still with us today. The spiritual attitudes that led to their downfall are still with us today. So here they are. Number one, the text in this, I'll read the entire text. Verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They've no delight in it. Oh. They don't want to hear God's word. The very God, I put in your note, that they sought to worship is the God that they wouldn't hear. The very God they want to worship and they're not going to listen to him. Well, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, says, oh Lord, I know the way of man's not in himself. It's not in man to direct his own steps. You have to hear the word of God to know the direction God wants us to take. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105, God, your word's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my pathway. God, how do I know where the safe place is? How do I know where the safe journey to take? It's your word that guides me. Your word is the light to my path. He said in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I've hidden my heart that I might not sin against you. The way to keep us on the right track is to listen to God's word. It's not in man to direct his own steps, he said. Isaiah gives the warning in Isaiah 30, verse 9. Isaiah preaches to a congregation. He says, you're a rebellious people. He says, your children who will not hear the law of the Lord. That's what Jeremiah says. My people don't have a delight in the word of God. Wow. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 15, Jesus had the same kind of audience. Jesus said to one time to his people, the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they've closed. You want to preach to a group of people that close their eyes and their ears? Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Who say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So when you come to the assembly, I know you've come, well, I want to come for the singing and the prayer and the communion. But not the preaching. Oh, don't say that. Jeremiah warns against the people that don't have a delight in hearing God's word. Second one. Verse 2, verse 13. From the least of them even to the greatest of them. Wow, lots of God's people back then. That everyone's given to covetousness. From the prophet, even from the prophet to the priest, not just the people, the leaders of God's people. Everyone is dealt falsely. You see that God's people back then, they had that desire for material gain that led them to obtain it in an unlawful way. And then they're going to justify it in their own minds that it's okay to do that. Wow. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 15, take heed, beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Man, oh man, your life is not determined by what you have in your hand. One of my favorite expressions, and I think about this situation, you realize that one day, everything you own will one day be owned by somebody else. You know that? Everything you own will one day be owned by somebody else. And you don't know how they're going to take care of it. Paul said to Timothy, we brought nothing into this world. We're going to carry nothing out. When you die, everything stays. It's all going to be owned by somebody else. Everything that you have in your hand. Your life does not consist in the abundance of the things you possess. Your life is to be spiritual, to be on God's side. But Jeremiah is preaching to an audience that's given over to covetousness. Then the third thing is in verse 14. They've also healed the hurt of my people slightly, he says, because they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh my. You see, the people are going down the wrong pathway. When you do that, it's easy for you to believe that everything's all okay. Everything is well. Everything's fine with me. You know, I believe in God. The hand goes up, but I'm not going to delight in God's word. So I think everything's okay because I've made a religion out of what I think is best. I've made a religion of what I like and not what God likes or what God wants. So we're saying, and the religious people and the leaders are saying, peace, that's okay. And there is no peace, really. The false teachers were healing the people, and Jeremiah says, slightly. The leaders were giving the people what they wanted to hear instead of what God tells them or preaches to them. Paul describes this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, you preach the word. You preach the word. That's my task. I'm going to preach the word. I want you to delight in that. Jeremiah gives a warning. Don't say, I don't want to hear the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Why do I stand, or somebody else, Brother Vernon or myself, stand up here when we have in a worship assembly and we preach the word? Why would we do that? Why would we call your attention to what God says? And Paul answers the question, because the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. It's like saying, Brian, I don't want to hear it. I've already made up my mind about how I think God should be worshipped. Don't preach the word to me. The time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, this is the word Paul told Timothy, because their own desires, this is what I want, God. My own desires. because they have itching ears. They'll heap to themselves teachers that will turn away their ears from the truth, from the Word of God. And you will be turned aside to fables. You'll believe what you want to believe instead of believing the Word of God. Jeremiah gives a warning. You're saying peace. Peace. There is no peace. Not in that situation. Number four, the warning is given in verse 15. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? He answers his own question, no. They were not at all ashamed. They didn't know how to blush. So here they were committing abomination. They didn't try to hide it, and they weren't embarrassed by their abomination. Our society is getting that way more and more. We're living in a society that's becoming more permissive. We're in a society that says everything is okay. Acceptance. It seems like the entertainment world takes pride in sin. You know, the TV shows and the talk show hosts, they flaunt wretchedness and they try to make it come across as acceptable. They try to make it come across as the norm in society. That this is all right. You know, we have one segment of our society that has a three-day party at the park. They have a parade, and the news coverage makes it seem like everybody likes it. You know, there's no discretion in the presence of others. Sometimes even the simplest things. You know, I come down to the building here and during the week, I see some young men on the sidewalk and they got their pants sagging, their underwear showing. I want to pull over and tell them, hey, if you want me to see your underwear, wear it on the outside of your pants. It's underwear, but you're making, why don't you just go ahead and make it outerwear? Then their pants are sagging so far, you know, down to their hips, and they got to walk with their legs apart to keep their pants up around the bottom of their hips. Then they kind of have to get, they're going to cross the street, they got to grab onto it and walk like, you know, like this. For their pants goes down around their knees. I don't want to see your underwear. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which they've done. They don't blush anymore. In Philippians 3, verse 19, Paul says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, because they glory in their shame and they set their minds on earthly things. Yep, the way of the world. The way of the world. Number 5, verse 16, another warning Jeremiah gives. Begins the verse with again that phrase, thus says the Lord. Lesson from above. Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is. Walk in it, and you'll find rest to your souls. That sounds good, doesn't it? That's what I want. I want to ask for the old paths because that's the good way, and if I walk in it, I'm going to find rest to my soul. But they said, we will not walk in it. Oh, my. You see, the leaders of the people and the people back in Jeremiah's day, they were saying, hey, Jeremiah, this is the year 650 BC. And these old paths were given 2,300 years ago by Moses on Mount Sinai. You know what, Jeremiah? You need to bring God's word up to date. Jeremiah, you need to bring God's word and change things according to 650 BC, not 2,500 years ago. You know, and people today are singing a similar tune. They're saying, Brian, you know, this is the new generation of people. And this new generation of people, the 21st century, cannot be converted by the old paths. Really. They're going to say, Brian, this is the Pepsi generation. Well, that's mine. Brian, we're Generation X. And then you get to Generation Y. Then Generation Z. It's all, we need new paths. We need a new teaching. You need to bring that Bible up to date, really. Oh, they're saying in this era of modernization in the 21st century, God's outdated and the Bible message needs to catch up with the times. Brian, we need a new gospel. The inspired Jude in verse 3 said, contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all, one time delivered for all time, delivered to the saints. Jesus said it himself in John 12, verse 48, he that rejects me and receives not my sayings. Oh, now we're going back 2,000 years. Jesus said, he that rejects me and receives not my sayings. I can't change it. I can't bring Jesus up to date. I can't change Jesus' words and modify it to fit Generation X. Jesus said it even 2,000 years ago. He that rejects me and receives not my sayings has one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same will judge him in the last day. You're not going to be judged by a 21st generation gospel. You're going to be judged by a gospel that was preached by Jesus 2,000 years ago. It was a faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. It's not going to change. But that's like Jeremiah said. You see people saying the same thing today. Jeremiah said, you need to ask for the old paths. And they said, oh no, I don't want the old paths. We're not going to walk in them. That's what people say today. We're not going to walk in the words of Jesus. Nope. Not going to do it. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all the scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things. For doctrine, for what you believe. For reproof, it corrects false doctrines. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The word of God will never be out of date. Never. God's plea today is to ask for the old paths. Walk in them. The last one I have, number 6, verse 17. He said, I've set a watchman over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we'll not hear. Wow. Preaching to a congregation that won't listen. Verse 19. Hear, O earth. Behold, I'll certainly bring calamity on the people for the fruit of their thoughts. Because they've not heeded my words. They have not heeded my law. They've rejected it. The duty of the watchman, the duty of the preacher is to sound the warning. Sound the warning. Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 19, pray for me that the utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly. When I stand before you, I need to preach the word boldly. Don't diminish it at all. He said, Paul continues, that in it I may speak, he says it again, boldly as I ought to speak. I don't have a choice. I'm not going to preach to you what you want to hear unless you want to hear God's word. Preach the word. There's a song that was in our old, I'll close with this, in our old songbook, titled Prepare to Meet Thy God. says careless soul, or a soul that's careless. Careless soul, why will you linger? Why will you linger? Wandering from the fold of God. Why are you going the opposite way? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Last stanza. If you spurn the invitation, you say, Brian, I'm not going to hear it. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. And the chorus begins, careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. So at the close of every lesson, we sing a song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're subject to that good news gospel message that God so loved the world, he gave his son, sent his son, that whosoever believes might have life, forgiveness of sins, spiritual blessings, all the good things. And Jesus continued with the words he added to it in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Repent or you'll perish. I don't want to perish. I want to believe for salvation. And then I want to make my confession of faith that I believe Jesus Christ is God's Son. And having made that confession, want to be baptized for remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The last words of Jesus in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, go into all the world, tell this apostle, preach the gospel, good news, a salvation message to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We want to preach a salvation message. Heed the warning. Heed the warning. Let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. And if that's your desire, if that's your resolve to be baptized, obey the gospel, be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this morning.
Let's go with 943.
943.